Today on Real Radio.
Where's God when it hurts, my friend? He's enthroned in heaven. It says in verse 3 that he's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. How much? All comfort.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Now, a few years back here on Real Radio, we brought you Pastor Jack's 1 Corinthians series, and if you heard it, you know there were some serious issues with that local congregation. Well, 2 Corinthians has an entirely different focus, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable.
Some people read it and said, we don't like what he has said. We don't like Paul. We are now going to cast doubt on Paul's ministry. And during that 12-month period of time, there were those who were trying to undermine the authority of the Apostle Paul. Here's the amazing thing about Paul. He didn't care. He didn't care for himself. Paul didn't have banners. He didn't have to announce himself. He didn't have to somehow have an entourage that went ahead of him saying, Paul is coming. The Apostle Paul is coming. Coming this fall, the Apostle Paul. None of that stuff. You know, listen. He went and he preached and he taught and he did what God called him to do. Even in the face of his authority being rejected, he simply announces, the letter's from Paul, deal with it. Whatever you choose to deal with it, I pray that you will obey the will of God. And oh, by the way, I'm an apostle by the will of God, not by the committee of men. This is a big deal. Well, the church voted and we want to have pink carpet. Listen, Paul would have said, tear out the carpet. What do I care? But if somebody came along and said, Paul, we don't like your doctrine. We don't like your teaching. Paul would say this, you're making a grave mistake. I didn't make up the doctrine. I didn't think this up. This is from God. This is what Christ has revealed. And when you listen, this is awesome. Paul is saying, when you read what the Spirit of God used through my body to put on parchment, and you read it, you're listening to none other than the very will and words of Christ. It is an awesome thing. You say, man, that's bold. You bet he was bold. You bet he was bold. You want to know why he was bold? Because he knew his calling. He knew that God had called him to say and to do what he was doing. And listen this morning, you may be an architect, you might be an engineer, you might be a homemaker, you might be, I don't care what you are. Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian, Pastor. Then listen, you are a Christian, a lover of Jesus by the will of God. What does that mean? Wherever you go, is it in the home? Is it in the neighborhood? Is it at the office? Is it at the city civic center? Is it on the construction site? Listen. What is your name? In the count of three, I want to hear your name. Shout it out loud. 1, 2, 3. You are blah, the Christian by the will of God. That means tomorrow when you get up and you go to work, you are going to do that because God has ordained that you be at that job. You say, I hate my job. Learn to love it. And learn to love it quick. Well, I don't want to be there very long. Love it as long as you're there. Love it for Jesus' sake. Shine like the heavens above. Just give it unto God. Button your lip. Put a smile on your face. Go to work and do it for Jesus. Even if you don't like it, do it for God. Do everything, all that you do, do to the glory of God. Why? Because it's the will of God for you in your life. Amen. See, man, I can't even go to work without praying. Praise the Lord. I can't face that boss without reading my Bible. May it always be that way. It's by the will of God. And settle this before we even ever get to the first point this morning. He mentions Timothy, his faithful companion, to the church of God, which is at Chino Hills. I'm sorry, which is at Corinth. With all the saints who are in California, I mean Greece. That's exactly what he means. Grace to you, circle the word grace, unmerited favor, charis, unmerited favor. Please, you're going to want to know this. You're going to want to remember this as we get into the study this week and next week. Unmerited favor is bestowed upon the Christian. Christian, this morning, God has favored you. And this morning, listen, this is where we're going to go. We're going to answer these age-old questions. Well, if God is a God of love, then why am I suffering? If God is a God of goodness, then why is there evil? If I'm a Christian, then why am I going through the stuff that the non-believers are going through? Because God has highly favored you. God has set his seal upon your life. God has placed his grace. Listen, none of us, believer, atheist, theist, evolutionist, it doesn't matter what you are, independent, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter what you are. In life, there's going to be difficulties, challenges, sickness, hurts, pains, financial struggles, tension, pressures, anxieties. We're all going to have those things. Listen, here's the tragic thing about the non-believer. They experience those things, and 99% of the time, they just go bitter. By the time they come to their old age or to their end of their journey, they're angry, bitter, cynical people. And Christians who experience the exact same thing winds up at the end of their life's journey being excited to enter into the kingdom of glory, having seen God do awesome and wonderful things. The word of God has come alive to them. They've decreased, but he has increased. Their outward man is perishing. Even this morning, as they're believers in this church, on their last few hours, they're entering glory. The great sun that shines like it's going to shine today, 94 degrees, today, with brilliant sunshine, what's it going to do? It is going to either soften things or harden things. The wax will become soft. The clay will become hard. If your heart is understanding the depth of the things that we're going to be heading toward in this study about suffering and anxiety and how am I going to make it through? I don't have a job, Pastor. What am I going to do? Listen, you are going to be encouraged. What does this say? 2 Corinthians, a letter of what? Encouragement. Grace. God has favored us, and we're going to find out what that really means. And the peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace. This is not the word peace with God. We already have that. Paul uses a different word. He doesn't use that you can have peace with God. So, no. That's already been, the moment you come to Jesus Christ, you have peace with God now. There's no more war. You're not kicking against God. You're not fighting. You're not saying, my will be done, God. My will be done. You've surrendered all that. This is the peace of God that he gives to who? His kids. Are you a Christian this morning? Yes. Two things right from the get-go. I'm favored by God. God says so. Unmerited, unearned. Number two, available right now is the peace of God in all my life's circumstances. This is what Paul is saying. So here we go. This might be a little uncomfortable. First point, verses 3-4. The question is, where is God when it hurts? Will you write that down? First point, where's God when it hurts? Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any tribulation or trouble. That's an awesome word. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now look, verses 3 and 4, honestly, you know me. We could spend the next month are 2 months on those three verses. They are pregnant with meaning. All powerful, and we need it today in our age. What's going to become of the euro? What's going to become of the dollar? What's going to be drill or no drill? Republican, Democrat. What's happening in the world? Peace or no peace? War or no war? Listen, I'm talking to you, and we're going to be talking to the Lord in this study, that it doesn't, listen, it does matter and it doesn't matter. We should always pray for peace. We should always be exercising righteousness. But listen, after we've done those things, we surrender, always surrender to the fact that in the midst of any storm, God has promised us his grace and peace. That's all important. Where's God when it hurts? I think you might already know the answer, but it's not what we often feel. Number one, jot it down. He's enthroned in heaven. You silly rabbit. What's with that? Of course. Where's God when it hurts? Number one, mark it down. He's in heaven. Now watch this. If my emotions take over, he's in heaven. That's not close enough. My emotions are governing and controlling. I'm not happy that he's in heaven. I want him sitting right next to me. I want him holding my hand to the doctor's office. Well, hang on a second. The first thing that you and I need to settle is that God is enthroned in heaven. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle the word blessed. God is enthroned in heaven above. He is above the fray. But listen, don't worry. He's not removed from it. But our source, that's the point, our source for the help that you and I need is deposited from heaven above. We need to have the right understanding. Number one is this. In your suffering, in your pain, God is enthroned in heaven. And what do we see regarding the life of Jesus? When Jesus walked on earth, what did he do? The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he prayed unto his Father. Jesus opened his mouth and said, "Oh, Father," did he not? Did he not tell the disciples, from now on, I want you to call Father, God in heaven, Abba. Nearness, closeness, dearness, relational love. In your trouble, God is enthroned in heaven. And if it was good enough for Jesus to cry out to his Father in all of his trials, then it's good enough for us. Put that in your heart and mind right now. If Jesus from earth, when he was ministering on earth, cried out to his Father, and his Father led him, guided him, blessed him, and got him through, then he's going to do it for me. He's going to do it for me. You see, Pastor, you just mentioned somebody a moment ago that's dying. Well, clearly God didn't come through for them. Hey, wait. Press pause on your DVD of lunacy. What are you talking about? You think that this earth is worth hanging around for? That's all that it is? Well, God didn't heal this person and they died. And where did they go? If they're a believer, they went to heaven. Quite a healing, I'm thinking. There comes a time spiritually you outgrow this body. It's time to go home. Though you've never been there before, your heart is longing to be there. He's the God that is residing in heaven. God is enthroned in heaven above. And when you pray, you're not praying to Blue Shield. You're not praying to Kaiser. You're not praying to some doctor. If you do, meet the new believer counselors after service today. You need to meet Christ, man. You need Jesus. You're praying to the God of heaven and earth. And if Jesus prayed to the God of heaven and earth, then how much more do you and I need to pray? He's enthroned in heaven. That should bring us great comfort. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus, what is called the great kenosis, the Greek word meaning that Jesus, listen, only God can do this. Some of you struggle with the deity of Jesus. You just need to read your Bible. Jesus willfully exercised the doctrine of kenosis, which means he at any moment had absolute power of the God that he was, the Son of God. But he willfully chose to not use it at certain times. For example, if he was going to raise the dead, he picked up his power, exercised the availing of it, and rose that person from the dead. Then when Jesus was praying and saying, Father, thy will be done. You see, if he was God, why did he pray that kind of a prayer? Why was he struggling in the garden? The Bible answers it. Kenosis. He willfully laid down the available answer or the exercise of power because of obedience so that you and I would be encouraged 2,000 years later. He could have picked up at any moment and not learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus, why did he do that? That you and I might be encouraged because there was a Father in heaven enthroned and Jesus leaned upon his heavenly Father while he was in this earthly world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spoke to the disciples saying unto them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And you think about that for a moment. This is right before his ascension, obviously. He was God of God. He had always had authority. But this time it was different. He was the resurrected Son of God. And he looked to his enthroned Father which is in heaven. Why? As a model. Where's God when it hurts, my friend? He's enthroned in heaven. It says in verse 3 that he's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. How much? All comfort. The word means that he's the originator of mercies and the originator of comforts. All comforts. Mark this down. This is exciting. This word, comfort, you'll see translated numerous times in the Bible, and so you should. There is the Greek word paraklesis, which means this, that we are comforted with a consolation or exhortation or entreated. God would console. Paraklesis. Then there's the Greek word parakaleo, which means this, to come near to me, to come near to the wounded one. God comes near, parakaleo, para, alongside, kaleo, to come and bring himself alongside. Listen to this. It means that he not only comes alongside, but he invokes, he invites, he desires, he entreats. Why is this important? Because the root word to these two words I just gave you, paraklesis and parakaleo, is this word parakletos. Why is that important? The word parakletos means to intercede, to be the comforter, to be the advocate, the one that consoles you in all of your difficulties. The word is pregnant with meaning and it applies to all areas of our life, but it comes from one individual. Listen to this. John 14, verse 16. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And in John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another, there you go, para, there you go, para alongside, parakletos, comforter. What will he do, this one? This one that is to be para alongside to comfort me, what will he do? He will console you. Listen, he will be the one who will say to you in your daily living and in your life's troubles, if you're listening, he's always speaking, you got to be listening. The situation is not for your destruction. He'll say, the situation is not what you think. The situation is not what you imagine. This situation, is completely manageable. I've got a plan. It's not an incident. It's not an accident what has befallen you. I have given you the parakletos. Watch this. John 14, keep reading with me if you would, that he may abide, he, personal pronoun, he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus said. I will come to you. Right now, today, 2,000 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, not your emotions, Jesus Christ is near you believers at every moment. But emotionally, he's never more near to us. He can't get any nearer. But emotionally for us, the awakening comes to us that God is near us in our darkest, most challenging moments. Why? Because the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, not only walks with us every day, he's been with you and shall be in you. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit from the inside out will speak to us. I'm with you, Jack. Don't worry. I got a plan here. There's a reason for this. Don't panic in the midst of your situation. Don't panic. And how many Christians today panic? We panic. And it displays our lack of faith in God. It displays our ignorance of the Word of God. Do you worry? Do you panic? Do you fret? Are you filled with anxiety? Jesus is saying to you, listen to my word. And the Holy Spirit is saying, listen to my word. And the Spirit of God from the inside of you out brings to remembrance the things that you've ingested of the Word of God. He wants to lead you through all of your life's challenge. Where's God when it hurts? Second thing, look at verse 4. Where's God when it hurts? He's where the trouble is. He's where there's trouble. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our trouble or tribulations. It's the interchangeable word. The Greek's the same word. Tribulation, troubles. Same word. You got troubles? Anybody got troubles? A lot of people didn't raise their hand in here, so the rest of us are going home with you today. If you ain't got troubles, we're going with you. Troubles. You see, well, I didn't raise my hand because I didn't know what kind of trouble. All troubles. This is encouraging. I got to tell you. Man, I read this week. In fact, I got to tell you something. Studying for this message this morning, Lisa kept asking me at home, why are you so quiet? I'm just thinking. But why? What's up? I'm just thinking. I didn't want to get into it. I didn't want to talk about it. Why? Because, you know, it's kind of like a percolator. You know what a percolator is? It's just kind of sitting in there bubbling up from time to time. And it's heavy stuff for me. Because you know what? As a pastor here and having a pastoral staff, I hear about troubles that are far greater than my troubles. This person's leg fell off. This person's baby died. And then I look at my own life and I ain't got troubles. That's my conclusion. Well, I'm not a worthy saint compared to the rest. But the Bible says all troubles. Meaning this, all of us are made with a little bit different of constitution inside. And you may be going through a death or a sickness or a financial challenge, but somebody next to you may not be. And we have a tendency to judge issues by, boy, look at that one. And I must not be, maybe I'm not a Christian because I'm not going through the big stuff.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a lesson called This Might Be a Little Uncomfortable, taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we have Pastor Jack right here in studio with us. And Pastor Jack, before we go real quick, you have a lot of places on this earth to teach and preach. Yep. And this is one that I want to follow you along on. Hawaii, what's going on?
Come on, let's go. Actually, we're going to be having a great, great time. We're going to be getting together on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August 21st to the 23rd, at an event that is being hosted right there in Honolulu, and it is called Summer Lights. And it's going to be a great time. Listen to this, everybody, and I hope that you make time to come on out and join us. Friday night, August 21st, I'm going to have the opportunity to address a gathering regarding an evangelistic message. If you bring someone out to this get-together, we're going to be preaching the gospel. I've got the honor to do that. And we're going to give a great and exciting invitation for your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, listen, I got two really good friends, great brothers, who are right here in the Southern California area, mind you. Saturday night, August 22nd, my good friend John Randall. Pastor John's going to be delivering his message, and then a home run hitter when it comes to preaching the gospel. Everybody knows Greg Laurie. Love him. In fact, Davey, Greg Laurie led me to the Lord on June 20th, 1977.
Yep, yep, yep.
Sunday night, August 23rd, Greg Laurie at 6 p.m. is going to be giving a message. So listen, three nights of opportunity for you to bring a friend to hear the gospel. I'll be doing Friday night, John Randall Saturday night, and Greg Laurie Sunday night. Listen, look forward to seeing you there. I would love to meet you in person and make plans to attend.
And what about that Sunday morning? What's coming up?
You know, I have a cross to bear, a burden
What's
to carry.
That? What's
and that?
That
is, I've got to teach the Word of God, the Bible, at North Shore Christian Fellowship in Haleiwa. Oh, you know, those of you who have never been, you don't quite exactly know what I'm excited about or what Davey's excited about. For those of you who've been to the North Shore of Oahu, North Shore Christian Fellowship is a great gathering. I'll be there Sunday morning, August 23rd, at the old Haleiwa Gym, and that's on King Kamehameha Highway, in the little village of the town of Haleiwa, and we're going to have a great time. Come on out. Service time is 9 a.m., and again, I would love to meet you, love to hang out, and bring someone to that service. And if you're in the North Shore, you know exactly where that is,
yeah.
But if you're in Waikiki area, or Mililani Town, just a short drive. Would love to see you there. Again, come on out. August 23rd, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. at North Shore Christian Fellowship.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.